In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Mother of Divine Providence, Saint Joseph, Saints Joachim and Anne, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Gospel and in the readings, we see indicated, or at least examples of God's providence, how he took care of his people, not only in the Old Testament times, but also in the time of our Lord during his earthly ministry. And I think it's a sign to us that we are to trust, of course, in divine providence in every day and even today. For we see in the book, in the first reading from the time of Elisha, you know, he said, give to the people to eat, and they had eaten and then there were still left over. Elisha, of course, is a type of our Lord, who we see it prefigured in him and then later on fulfilled in the reality with Christ himself, who saw the people, and he said, give them something to eat. You know, where will we get food? And he was testing his disciples to see if they had that supernatural outlook. Here they had been with our Lord all these years, 3 years, you know, in public ministry, seeing our Lord work all these miracles, and our Lord was trying to see if they would come up with the right answer real quick. And instead they said, well, there's not enough food to feed that many people. And probably it would have been, well, Lord, you can do it. You know, it would have probably been the faith-filled answer, but it took a while for them to realize that our Lord is the one who can supply all of our needs. And if he was so careful to take care of even their physical needs, he looked upon the people and saw that they were hungry, and he even took care of that, you know, fed their bellies. But that, of course, was to lead them past their physical needs and realize that if he can take care of our physical needs, even more so, can he supply for our spiritual needs. If he can feed our bodies by doing something miraculous, then even more so, can he feed our souls by doing something more astounding than just multiplying the material, that he can actually transubstantiate something that is material into not bread and wine, but now his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is the you might say, the lesson that our Lord is trying to gradually draw his disciples, especially his apostles, who are going to become his priests and bishops, to understand the power that our Lord has in providing for the needs of his people, and that he will give of himself, not just give them bread, but he will be the bread, as he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven, as he says in the gospel, to feed us, to give us that nourishment that we need in order to fulfill the task that we have at hand, which, of course, is a task that is beyond our abilities by nature. And so he has to give us a supersubstantial, a supernatural food in order to achieve a supernatural end. And of course, we know that that's ultimately fulfilled in the Holy Eucharist, where our Lord gives us, multiplies himself all over the world. You know, our Lord is present in every tabernacle, wherever there's consecrated hosts. And truly, he has multiplied his presence among us to be with us, as he said, until the end of times. You know, when I read these passages from the Old Testament and New, sometimes I have a hard time with the whole survivalist mentality that sometimes has crept into Christian circles, especially among sometimes the fundamentalist Christians. The examples seem to indicate, like the story of the prophet Elijah, when there was a famine, you know, he didn't stock up in his cave with all that he needs. God provided for him, even working a miracle with the widow of Zarephath, where he multiplied the oil and the flour. Other times he sent the ravens to bring him bread or food to feed him. But then at other times we see in the Old Testament, you know, the story of Joseph, who was told in a dream to store up in grain elevators all the grain because he was going to need it because there was going to be a famine. So I'm sometimes in my mind struggling with, well, I guess God's going to indicate what we need to do when we need to do it. If we need to store up or if we need to trust in his divine providence, however he's going to do it, he's going to manifest it in some way through some legitimate superior in some way, or to manifest to his people that they need to do something. But the survivalist mentality that seems to be kind of contrary, it's kind of like, this is mine, don't come near it. Whereas we see that the mentality that our Lord is saying is to share with those who need, and that you will not be, your supply will not be outdone if you do something out of charity. You know, that's the, sometimes I find the mentality seems to be more like a hoarding and protecting instead of hoarding in order to share in case there's need for others. So I find that sometimes to be a question in my mind as to, is that really from the Christian spirit? And so we need to trust that the Lord will indicate to us when it's time, if there ever is a need for it, when we should store up in order to share with others in case there is a need for that. But it seems to me that what our Lord is saying is that he will provide for us in whatever situation that we're in, and that we need to trust in him. And then the other thing that is very important, I think, in the readings, St. Paul talks about the unity that there should be among all those who are believers. You know, the unity of faith is so important to maintain that one mind and one heart. When we all believe the same thing, as faithful Catholics, there is a bond there. There is a unity that is so tangible, and you can see that when people are one mind and one heart, there is truly a peaceful accord. And we can see that when there is not a peace, when there's not this unity of faith, there is not this oneness of mind and heart. And we can see that in the church clearly today sometimes, where we have people who claim to be Catholic and yet they don't hold the teachings of the church. In one sense, they're just Protestants with a Catholic veneer. And that they're not able to have that communion that you ought to have because there is not this unity of faith. And this is what I think that we need to realize, that for us to have this true communion, community, to have this oneness, this one mind and one heart, that we truly are one people, one family, we have to realize that this oneness of faith is so important for this unity. You know, when we look at when Europe was truly Christian, there was a peaceful accord that existed. You know, and they always, sometimes you hear this lie that, oh, there was so many wars and all that in the Middle Ages. Well, there was a lot less warfare, obviously, than the 20th century. You know, supposedly when everybody was democratic and supposedly free, that was supposed to be the solution to all our problems. And yet we saw that the 20th century was one of the bloodiest centuries of history. And there was not this unity of faith that would bring about a certain peaceful accord among people. Because when you have a difference with another person and you both believe that God is a source of truth and grace, and that he is the one that I'm a brother because I have the same God in heaven as my Father, and you are my brother in the faith, there should be a way to work about finding a peaceful solution to things. So this importance of having oneness of faith is so important for true peace and harmony among mankind. The Protestant revolt truly was a revolt, and it did bring about a lot of unrest because people were no longer of one faith and of one mind and heart. And we can see that today, even within the church, when there's not this unity of faith, there is not peace and there's not this tranquility that ought to be. So it is important that we understand that the faith is not something that we define. It's something that is handed down to us from God. And it's important that we believe it as God has intended us to believe it and to know it. And we know that that comes from the fact that he's given his authority to his apostles and their successors. And it's so important that we pray every day for those who are shepherds over us, that they may truly be those good shepherds that are feeding us, not only, you know, feeding us especially the spiritual food that we need, feeding us, of course, the sacrament of Jesus Christ, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, but feeding us also by teaching us the truth and preaching the truth in season and out of season. For that is what's needed today to maintain and keep unity and peace. As we see, we keep going farther away from God, we're going to see more discord and more disunity and more warfare between man, brothers and sisters, who should have rather that peace. You know, Our Lady told the children at Fatima that war is the result of sin. And sin, of course, is turning away from God. And we realize today that maybe in God's mercy we have been spared something, but we need to pray and we need to offer sacrifice and we need to pray that for this unity of faith, that as we're all to pray, that there be one faith, one Lord, one baptism, that mankind will truly understand that he's not in charge, that there is a God in heaven, and he has manifested his mind and heart to us. And that for us to truly have peace and harmony among one another, we need to live his way and not our way. Let us ask Our Lady, who is the mother of unity and the mother of divine providence, who trusted in God, in that seems difficult situations which in which she manifested such a supreme faith that she believed that God's words to her would be fulfilled, that we too will have that faith to trust in God and to realize that we must always be doing his will and that he will provide for us. He will take care of us, even if it should be in extreme situations and if he should have to work a miracle for us, that we will know and follow his will whenever he manifests it to us, and that we will be like his good servants, always being found doing his work. As he says, when he comes unexpectedly, to find us doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then his providence, his providential care will always be there watching over us. Let us ask Our Lady especially, who always trusted in God's providence for her, to teach us how to be trusting in that providence and to always look to God for his light, his truth, and his care over us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.